Take your Bibles this morning and open with me to the Gospel of St. John. Find the 16th chapter. I want us to go back to a message that we started last week. With the Lord to help us, we'll try to finish it this morning. Let me just make a couple of quick announcements and echo something that Brother Bob said. Vacation Bible School is huge here at Solid Rock. It's been that way for several years now. And during that week, we try to minister to every age group, from teeny tots all the way to adults. We'll have something in place for you. And I hope that you'll plan on joining us and celebrating with us. We have a good time. We have some good fellowship, some good food, and we have some good teaching of the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so during Vacation Bible School, you will have an opportunity to learn deeper truths about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Also, something else that I'm very excited about, Brother Dale is heading up our 4x4 fellowship. It's a great opportunity to get to know other couples and other families in this church. To be quite honest, there are some people here that I know very little about. Although you're here every Sunday, I just don't have the opportunity to get to know you and to find out certain details about you, certain things that maybe you could help me with or I could help you with. But doing this 4x4 fellowship is an opportunity for us to get to know one another and to share with one another. And so I pray and hope that you will sign up to be a part of that. It's going to be an exciting time, a good time. Also an opportunity for us to band together to minister maybe to a family that don't know Jesus Christ and invite them to be a part of this great salvation that we have experienced. So I'm excited about those two things. I pray you keep those in mind. Amen. First Sunday. Okay. Amen. First Sunday in July, right? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Excited about that. St. John chapter 16, verse 7 through verse 15 is what I want to focus on this morning. St. John chapter 16, verse 7 through verse 15. Jesus is talking again to his disciples. He's getting ready to depart from them and to go back to glory with the Father. This thing troubled the disciples, and Jesus knew it, and he knew he needed to do something to calm their fears and to help them in this time of transition. And so he says to them in verse number 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." Verse 15 says, "All things that the Father have are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this great crowd who have come to worship your holy name. God, thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you that you're faithful to us. Thank you in our most difficult and darkest moments, Lord, you have promised and you faithfully keep your promise that you will not leave us. You will not forsake us. God, speak to us now about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in such a way that all of us will be able to understand it and live it out in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. On last week, we began to talk about how the Holy Spirit works in this world and in the life of every believer. He's working to accomplish God's purpose in this world and in your life. The Lord Jesus knew at his departure, he knew that we would need some divine supernatural help. Jesus knew that the unsaved couldn't get saved without some help. And he knew that the saved could not live for the glory of God without some help. And so Jesus did a wonderful and unique thing. He sent to us the Holy Spirit. He's in this world and he lives in the heart of every single believer. He's here. We are not alone. We're not by ourselves. We don't have to depend on ourselves. It's not by our strength. It's not by our might. It's not by our wisdom. Listen, we have a helper that's been sent to us by God, and he's here. He's here. But listen, not only is he here, he's working. He's not idle. He's not indifferent. He's not withdrawn. He's not lazy. He is working right now in the heart and in the life of every single person on planet Earth. He's working. Believe it or not, he's working on your dilemma. He's working on your problem. He's working on the things that you struggle with. He's working on the problems that you and I face as individuals and even as a church. He's not indifferent. He's not lazy. He's not withdrawn. He's not idle. He is working this morning. He's working, and I thank God for that. I know in my heart, listen, that every single thing that ever worked out in my life, it worked out not because I worked so hard at it or not because I was so wise, but because the Holy Spirit of God was working on my behalf. So he's here and he's working. Now, what I want to do this morning, I want to finish up where we started last week. I want to talk to us about how he works. We know he's here. We know he's working. But we need to understand, how is he going about accomplishing this great plan, this awesome plan of Almighty God? That's important to us. Because listen, if you know how he's working and how he's accomplishing it, then you can identify, you will know when you see his work. That's important. Listen, that is important to know how the Holy Spirit is working out God's plan. How is he accomplishing God's plan in our lives and in this world? We need to be able to identify it so that when we see his work, we'll know who did it. Let me give you an example. Every time somebody walks the aisle and gets saved, I know the Holy Spirit was here. Every time a brother and a sister who had been at odds with one another forgive each other and reconcile and love one another like brothers and sisters ought to, I know the Holy Spirit was at work. Every time I overcome a sin, every time I overcome a temptation, every time I turn loose of something that God didn't want me to have in the first place, I know it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to know how he works. How he works. Now, last week I told you, I gave you two of the four or five things I want to give you. Last week I told you, listen, he works by conviction and convincing. Listen what Jesus said in verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. The word reprove there means to convict and convince. You see, one of the things that the Holy Spirit had to do for us, he had to convict us of sin. He had to show us that we're guilty. He have to convince us that if we don't turn from our sin and turn to Jesus Christ, bad things are gonna come. And so listen, he's like a prosecuting attorney. He lays out the evidence before you and convicts you, and then he convinces you that you need Jesus. He convinces you that without Jesus Christ in your life, you're going to make a mess of this life and you're going to spend eternity in hell in the next life. So he had to convict us. Now don't run from that conviction. Listen, don't run from that conviction. Because if the Holy Spirit can't convict you, he can't help you. Listen, if the Holy Spirit can't convict you, he can't deliver you. If he can't convince you that you're lost, he can't bring you to the Savior. If he can't convince you that you're headed in the wrong direction, he can't get you pointed in the right direction. Amen. Listen, we run from the very thing that God sent to help us. Listen, whenever you stick your hand to the hot stove that mama had told you not to put your hand on, and you put your hand on it, the pain that shoots through your hand to the rest of your body is convicting. It convicts you that you shouldn't have touched it. And it convinces you that you ought not touch it again. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works. Listen to me. If the Holy Spirit can't convict you, he can't help you. And every one of us here this morning got something in our lives that he's trying to convict us of. Jesus said, listen, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Of sin because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And what Jesus is trying to teach us, as we run from this little point here, but what Jesus is trying to teach us, he's trying to teach us that, listen, if you can't get convicted and convinced, you can't get saved. Let me show you a good verse. Turn with me to Psalms 32. Go to Psalms 32. I guess I should have told you before I started, I don't have a Father's Day message. But the one that I got is what we need. Because I'm convinced, listen, that the one thing that every child needs, they need to see a father who is in love with God and surrender to the Spirit. You really want to give your son something this morning? Give him an example of a God chaser. Give him a living, breathing example of a man who is sold out to God. And that'll be the best thing you can ever give him. I want you to look with me in Psalm 32 because it's very important. Listen, I told you last week, real quick, that God works to bring us to conviction. Because God knows if he leave you headed in the direction that you're headed on your own, it's going to bring you to destruction. And so sometimes we as believers, we get like mules. We get like donkeys. We get stuck in our ways and we're going to have it our way. Hey, listen, and here's what God had to do. God had to put a bit in our mouths. Listen, God had to begin to work to break us of our stubborn will. The longer, listen to me, the longer you resist the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, the more trouble you get yourself into. And some of us are in trouble here this morning. Listen, we're in trouble not because of what the devil is doing, but because of what we won't do. We won't listen. We won't surrender. Listen, we got to have it our way. We got to do it our way. We got to have our freedom. Let me tell you something. Listen, freedom is not doing what you want to do. Freedom is doing what you ought to do. So listen what David said. David's got a good experience of the Lord. He know how God works. So watch what he says here. He starts in verse 1. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord impute not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now watch verse 3. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my groin all the day long. For day and night, your hand, that is the hand of God, was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. David said, I'm drying up. He said, the longer I stay in this sin, the longer I refuse to repent, the longer I refuse to receive the correcting, convicting hand of God in my life by the Holy Spirit, he said, I'm drying up like a plant in the desert. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 5. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression. There is, I will confess my sins unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my heart. And so, listen, number one, here's the first little point this morning. Jesus said, back to St. John chapter 16, Jesus said that one of the things the Holy Spirit is going to do, he's going to convict you. He's going to convict you. Don't run from that. Don't fight that. Because unless God can convict you, he can't do much for you. But then here's the second thing I tried to tell you last week. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit is always centered on the truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Therefore, listen, that means he loves truth. Listen, he delights in truth. He promotes truth. He establishes truth. He always speaks the truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth. And I tried to say to us last week, listen, the Spirit of God cannot help you if you can't receive the truth. Lord, help us. Listen to me. If he can't speak truth to you, if he can't really be open and honest with you, he really can't help you. Let me tell you, he'll never lie to you. See, some of us are so bad off that we were rather for you to lie to us and make us feel good than to tell us the truth and get us out the mess we in. Amen. But you'll never get that from the Holy Spirit. Listen, he will always tell you the truth. He'll tell you the truth about Jesus. He'll tell you the truth about God's love. He'll tell you the truth about God's forgiveness. He'll tell you the truth about sin. He'll tell you the truth about judgment. He'll tell you the truth about yourself. He'll tell you the truth about your neighbor. I'm telling you, he is the Spirit of Truth. He loves truth. And I'm telling you, listen to me, some of us are headed to some real sad places in our earthly life because we won't face the truth. In fact, we won't hang around nobody that'll tell us the truth. Amen. But Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you know you can't be free without truth? Every time you buy into the lie of the devil, you go deeper into his dungeon. There are some of us here this morning, listen, Lord, help us. God, help us, please. We have believed the lie that we can make a success out of sin. We have believed the lie that we can do okay without the church. We have believed the lie that this word is not important. We have believed the lie that we can pray when we just get in trouble and everything will be okay. And I'm telling you, listen to me, until you're willing to face the truth, you limit what God can do in your life. Amen. We need some dads here this morning. I'm telling you, we need some men who got children who need to step up and be a real dad and face some truth about the reason why your children is in the mess that they're in. You're blaming it on the school, the public schools. You're blaming it on the White House. You're blaming it on Washington. Listen, you'll blame everybody except what a real blame ought to be, and that is I have not been following God the way that I should. Amen. So Jesus, look. Notice what Jesus called him in verse 13. Look at verse 13. Jesus said, how be it when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. I'm telling you, listen, I can only speak for myself, and I think I'm right about it when I say all of us. But we have a real problem with truth. Amen. Truth makes us uncomfortable. And there are times on Monday morning when I had to get before the Lord. I told you I got Mondays off. And so a lot of times I'm at home alone, just me and the Lord. And he had to speak some truth to me about my pastoralship. He had to uncover for me some things, some areas whereby I'm failing. Now, what I would really rather for God to do is just tell me how good I'm doing. But God knows if he's going to help Anthony, he got to speak the truth to Anthony. He got to be able to tell me the truth. And I got to be able to receive the truth. Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit always does, listen, he always centers his work on truth. Always on truth. The devil is a liar, but the Spirit of God is true. And he always tell you the truth. He always speak the truth to you. Listen, he'll tell you the truth about how to get saved. In fact, he'll tell you the truth this morning whether or not you are saved. Amen. He'll tell you the truth. Listen to me. He'll tell you the truth about your marriage. He'll tell you the truth about your children. He'll tell you the truth about your affairs. He'll tell you the truth about your finances. Amen. Amen. There have been times in Matt and our life since we've been married when I go to God and I say, God, you know, I got this bill and I don't have the money to pay it. And God has said, you would have had the money. I gave you the money. Remember that overtime I let you get back there? That was for that bill that I told you was coming up. You would have had the money, but you spent the money on foolishness rather than holding it for the bill. And some of us are in financial trouble here this morning. And it's not because God hadn't provided. Listen to me. It's not because God hadn't met that need, but because we spend God's money on the devil's stuff, and then when the need arises, we want God to step in. Amen. Amen. He's called the Spirit of Truth. He'll speak the truth to you. He'll tell you the truth about you. He'll tell you the truth about your circumstances and where you're headed and what you need to do. But here's the third thing that Jesus tells us in this text this morning. And that is, he always work by degrees. Look at verse number 12. Look at verse 12. Jesus says to the disciples, he said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, you can't handle them right now. You're not ready for them right now. You're not spiritually mature enough to handle them right now. You can't chew them and digest them right now. And so Jesus said, I got a lot of things I want to say to you, but right now you're not ready for them. Then he goes into verse 13 and says, although when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. What is Jesus trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us that God don't just dump all truth on us at once. I'm glad that God didn't just dump all of how bad I was, or how bad I am on me at one time. But he works by degrees. Listen, he works by degrees. If God got you in a 10-step program, God will never give you step 3 before he gives step 1 and 2. Listen, if you want God to do something awesome in your life, don't try to skip step 1 and 2 and get to 5. You see, there are a lot of us here this morning. Lord, help me make this make sense. Listen, there are a lot of us here this morning, and we want God to do something. We need God to do something, but we want to skip the first 2 steps and get to step 3. And God said, listen, if you really want me to do something, you got to start obeying me 1 step at a time. You know what? For some here this morning, you know what the first step is for you? You need to get saved. The Spirit of God has brought you here, sent you here, listen, and he brought you here for one primary purpose, is so that you could hear the gospel and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. For others who are saved, you're here, but you need God to do something. You need God to do something awesome in your life. You need God to turn something around for you. And God's saying to you, the first step, surrender to me. Stop trying to do it your way. Listen, stop being like the donkey. Only want to show up in the pasture when you want to eat some grass. You'll never go to the next level, Brad, until you're willing to obey the last command that you got from him. There's some of us here this morning. Lord, help us. We need God to fix this over here. That's what we need. And that's what God wants to do. But we're asking him to fix this over here. And God said, I'm not going to fix this over here until you let me fix this right here. Sometime, listen to me, sometime what God wants to do in our life and what God needs to do in our life is not necessarily what we want. This is making sense this morning. And so he, Holy Spirit leads us by degrees. He leads us by degrees. He don't show you all of the plan of God. He don't show you all that God's going to do in your life. He don't show you all of the blessings that God got in store for you. He don't show you how rotten you are all at one time. But little bit by little bit, he leads us. Let me show you a life verse. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 28. Look at Isaiah 28. Look at Isaiah 28, verse 9. One of the things that God was committed to doing, church, he was committed to helping the nation of Israel. He was committed, listen, he was committed to bringing them to that place where they could receive and enjoy the very best blessings that he had to offer. Listen, one of the ways that God tried to help them was by instructing them. And so what he would do, he would call a prophet, ordain and anoint that prophet, give that prophet a word from God, and tell that prophet to go take this word to my people. But the prophets were very careful on how they taught. They used the child-rearing approach. What that means is that, listen, they taught them one principle at a time. They taught them one precept at a time. they didn't expect a child, a newborn, to run before he walked. In fact, they didn't expect a newborn to walk before he learned how to stand. And so what they would do, they would teach by precepts. They would teach a little here and a little there, hoping that the people sooner or later would get a hold of what God was trying to teach them. I want you to look in verse number 9 of Isaiah 28. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Listen, here's what he's saying. He said, listen, if you really want to know the deep things of God, if you really want to move to the next level in God, you got to grow up. You got to grow up. Listen, the problem in the church is that there are too many of us who are satisfied in childhood. We're not growing, we're not developing, and we're not doing anything that would promote it. He said, listen, you can't give a newborn T-bone steak. He can't chew it, and he can't digest it. He said, listen, you got to get weaned off the milk. That's why, listen, that's why Bible study and personal private devotions are so important, because God is growing you so he can, listen, so he can trust you with more of his spiritual blessings. Look at verse 10. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. God said, I'm trying to train you. I'm trying to teach you. I don't overwhelm you with all this. I don't want to overwhelm you with how sinful you are. Listen, by the way, none of us really know how rotten we really are. We're much more rotten than we give ourselves credit for. None of us really know how good God is. He's much better than what we could ever imagine. But the Holy Spirit has come to teach us a little bit at a time. Little bit at a time. Little bit at a time. You know, every day I live, I learn something about me. Amen. Let me tell you something I'm learning now in this old age. I'm learning that I can be spiritually lazy. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, I'm learning that unless the Holy Spirit of God stir my heart, keep me moving, keep me motivated, I could very easily close this Bible and go home. Let me just tell you right here. No good in you can you take credit for. If you got anything good going on, maybe you're a good deacon or a good preacher or a good Sunday school teacher, listen, it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit of God that's working in you. So he said, precept on precept. I love these people who, listen, they don't, what happened? They don't come to Sunday school, and they don't study their Bible themselves. And so when you ask them why don't they come to Sunday school, they say, well, I don't get nothing out of it. All right. I don't get very much out of it, but let me just tell you something. Listen, do you know that when you're hungry, a slice of bread is better than no bread at all? Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so what the Holy Spirit is trying to do, he's trying to work in you to develop you so God can trust you with more. And I'm not talking about more stuff. Amen. Most of us got a house full of stuff. But he can trust you with more of those wonderful spiritual blessings that God really wants the church to operate in. Go back to St. John with me. And so the Holy Spirit, he works by convicting. He always works centered on truth. He works by degrees. That's why, listen, you need to have an ongoing relationship with God. I'm telling you, listen to me. You need to have an ongoing, personal, daily walk with the Lord. He's not going to tell you everything that he wants, that he's going to do in your life on Monday. But he'll let you in on a little bit more of it on Tuesday. And he'll let you in on a little bit more of it on Wednesday. And see, what happens to us in our Christian life is that we get bored with the walk. And we start walking with the world rather than walking with the Savior. And we wonder why we have no victory and we're not growing. Here's the fourth thing. Here's the fourth way he works. All of his work is for the purpose of glorifying Jesus Christ. Every single thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, in this world, in this church, is for the purpose of glorifying Jesus Christ. He's not interested in bringing you any glory. He's not interested in bringing this church any glory. He's not interested in your plans and your desires. Listen, he is interested only in glorifying Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14 before you go all the way to sleep. He shall glorify me. That's what he does. That's what he wants to do. Listen, that is his purpose for coming into this world, is to glorify Jesus Christ. You know what he want to do? He want to make Jesus great in your eyes. He wants you to see Jesus Christ as bigger than any problem that you ever have. Listen, more deserving of glory and honor than any person you'll ever meet. He wants to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to do. Jesus said, listen, he shall glorify me. Listen to me. He is not interested in not one of our ideas as a church that does not glorify Jesus Christ. He's not interested in one of your ideas personally that don't glorify Jesus Christ. He's all about glorifying Christ. He's all about lifting up Jesus Christ. He's all about bringing the world to Jesus Christ. He's all about you getting to know Jesus on a greater level. Amen. Amen. And let me just tell you this right here. Listen to me. If you're not interested in glorifying Jesus Christ, he's going to be limited in what he do in your life. Amen. Jesus said in verse 14, he shall glorify me. Everything that he wants to do, every blessing that comes into your life, every good thing that he has brought into your life has been brought there so your eyes will come open to see the goodness of Jesus Christ. He wants to glorify Christ. He wants to glorify Christ. He wants us as a church to glorify Jesus Christ. Here's the fifth thing that he does. He works. He works by personal connection and involvement. Look at verse 7. Notice what Jesus says in verse 7. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That's personal. That's personal involvement. Listen, look down at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Notice, he, you. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you, he, you, things to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. It's a personal thing. It's a personal, listen to me, it is a personal connection and involvement. Six times in verse, between verse 7 and verse 13, Jesus uses the pronoun he. 3 to 4 times he uses the word you. He's trying to show us, listen, that the Holy Spirit has come into this world and he will save anybody and he will minister and serve anybody. But listen, if everybody else rejects it, you ought to receive it. You ought to receive it. At the end of the day, listen to me. At the end of the day, at the end of your life, it will not be about what you and your husband did. It will not be about you and your family. When you stand before Almighty God, it'll be about you and your connection with the Holy Spirit. Well, here's my last little point. He always uses the word of God to reveal the will of God. He always uses the word of God to reveal to you the will of God. Go back with me to chapter 14. I want you to look in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, don't keep my word. He that loveth me not, don't keep my word. He don't keep my saying. He don't do what I have commanded. He don't even try. Listen, the acid test, the absolute acid test that you are a lover of God is that you have a desire to keep his sayings. Well, that would have been a good place to get more than a half amen. The acid test, listen to me, the acid test that you are a lover and a follower of God is you have a desire to keep his saying. Listen, Jesus said, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which is in me, or which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now here it is. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance. Here it is. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God uses the word of God to help reveal to you the will of God. I've said it before and I say it again. That's why the devil works so hard to keep us away from the word of God. Never in the history of the church have there been less interest in the word of God than it is right now. Amen. We're interested in blessings. We're interested in miracles. We're interested in God getting us out of trouble. We're interested in God making things easy for us. But we're not interested in what thus said the Lord. We're not. We're just not. And that spirit, listen to me, that disconnect from the word of God did not come from God. So if it didn't come from God, where do you think it come from? It come from the devil. Listen, if God said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, the devil is no fool. He know in order to keep you bound up, what's the key? Keep you away from the truth. The Holy Ghost uses, listen to me, don't run, don't run. Listen, because the Lord just said some of them trying to check out on you. Don't run. Listen, the Holy Ghost uses the word of God to bring you into the will of God so you can enjoy the riches of God. And as long as you're not interested in the word, you won't get in the will. And as long as you're out of the will, you can't lay hold on the riches. So Jesus said, he will bring to your remembrance whatever I've said to you. Let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He will never go against the word of God. I have people tell me sometimes because they want to get their way. And they're trying to justify what they're doing. Oh, God told me this was okay. I said, no, he didn't. Now, you can lie to me, but you ought not lie on God. Amen. God will never tell you, never give you permission to disobey his written word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I close with this morning. Because I asked the Lord about six this morning, how do we enjoy what the Holy Spirit is doing? How do we get the best out of it? How do we get the best out of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives? And the first thing that God said to me, he said, listen, you need to acknowledge, first of all, that you need his help. If you really want to get the best out of what the Holy Spirit is doing, by the way, he's here, he's in charge. He's got the responsibility of getting us from earth to glory. He's the only conductor. If you really want to get the best out of what he's doing, number one, you need to acknowledge you need his help. So I've started trying to make it a habit now. Every day I ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help me, to guide me, to direct me, because I'm an idiot. Amen. And I make a mess of myself. Guide me and direct me. Then, listen, Lord says, the second thing you need to do, listen, you need to be surrendered and obedient to whatever he says. You need to surrender. For some of us here this morning, listen, the Holy Spirit, you know it. The Holy Spirit is calling you. He's saying you need to get saved. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. He just keep bringing it up. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. For others here this morning, he's saying, you know what? You need to get committed. You need to get committed. At a revival, and I think I may have made some folks mad. I don't care. I ain't got to preach there no more the next year. But I told them, listen, that there is no part-time Christians.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you call yourself a full-time employee, you ought not be working part-time hours. And if you call yourself a follower of Christ, you ought to be available for the service.
Yes. Yes.
Need to get surrendered. Need to get committed. For others, you know what? Holy Spirit just simply saying to you, you need to go apologize to that person. Maybe it's a husband or a wife. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a church member. And the last thing he said to me this morning that really made sense, he said, if you really want to get the best out of what the Holy Spirit is doing, fall in love with Jesus.
Yeah. Yes,
sir. Let me ask you a question. I want you to raise your hands this morning.